I live the truth. This is Dr. Herb Elbeyer, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California. The thought for today, I live the truth. I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the light. I am the only truth there is. Herb, that's Jesus' story. What are you doing with it? You know? Well, Jesus said the things that he did we're supposed to do too. So, but anyhow, I'm being facetious, but I am the truth. Now, if I say to you something happened, according to me and my understanding of truth, it happened. Now, if you, from your other point of view, see something and that I say happened and you say it didn't happen, then for you it didn't happen. Now, how can it not happen for you and happen for me? How can truth be variable? Because truth is not dependable. And there is no truth. You say, well, my goodness sakes, it isn't. Now, what's the truth? You go to New Zealand, and in New Zealand they have rules and laws, and they're very strict, very, very definite, but generous, but they're very definite. And then you go to Texas, and Texas has laws too. And the laws of New Zealand do not apply in Texas. They just do not apply. I won't give an illustration because there are too many of them. But the laws of New Zealand do not apply in Texas. And why do they not apply? Because they're not on the books. You go into Texas, into their legislature, and you find out that the laws are as they are. The laws say, this is what a Texan does, this is what we do in Texas, this is for Texas, Texas, Texas. Now, why in the United States can the United States of America laws be one way and the laws of Texas be another way? Can they? Oh, yes, they are. They are. All states do not have to fulfill the laws of the United States of America. Even though they're in it, they can have different laws. And they not only can have different laws, the United States of Americans can say, if you don't allow free schooling for all the children under the age of whatever, and have free public schooling for every child or every adult who wants it, everybody, you do not receive your funds from the federal government for the federal highways. What's highways got to do with education, you know? That's just their little leverage, you know. And if you don't have education for everybody, then you will not receive the medicine that can be sent down from Medi-Cal or Medicare or what have you, you know. You understand? Now, where's the truth of that law? And the truth of that law is that law is that law. That law is not truth because it is truth, because it is universal. It's a law, and it is the truth because it is what that law expounds and says have to be. Now, is that fair? Well, of course it is fair. What about you? Does your daddy allow you to do things as you're growing up that the other kids in the neighborhood can't do or can do? And you're not allowed to do it? Have you ever had things like that happen in your household? Where your daddy says, I don't care if the rest of the kids are going to hell, you're not going to that movie. That movie is not good for a child who is growing up and going to sleep at night and then dreaming of those terrible things that that movie has about. No way. But Dad, I want to do it. No way. And so you sneak out and do it, and you come home, and at night you scream and holler, and your dad says, you went to the movie, didn't you? Yes, Dad. Well, you're paying the price. You know, I give up on you. Dad, don't. I'm sorry. Okay. He gives you a hug and a cuddle, and he says, you're home for it now. Go to sleep. I'm here with you. I am here with you. You see, and so how come the law of the one family and the law of another family, or the truth of one family, or the truth of another family, vary, you know? Now, when you are in business, oh my, how business gives you the permission to be illegal and dishonest. Not illegal, dishonest. Not even dishonest. Different. When you are in the legislature, and I say to Ingeborg over here, who is the legislator from California, and I'm the legislator from Texas, and I say, Ingeborg, I want to put through this law that allows Texas to have more oil fields than it has right now. And you say, all right, Herb, I will vote for your law if you'll vote for my law that allows California to close its gates to foreign travelers, or that allows California to let the international travelers come in here and do the menial work that they want to do. And the Texan says, easy done. And you say, easy done. And so you're bought. You're bought. Your truth is bought. Your honesty is bought. Your integrity is bought. And it happens all the time. That doesn't make it right. It happens all the time. Now, when you go into being a legislator or in the law in any direction at all, you know those things go on. You know that that doesn't make them right. But you know they go on. And so you say, well, you know, they do it, so I can do it too. No. Did you ever hear of an honest legislator? Not for too long, because he is forced out of office. All they have to do with an honest legislator is what? Impugn his integrity. All they have to do to an honest legislator is to say he sleeps with boys, or he sleeps with his secretary, or he does some other things like that. You know what I mean? And it can be the farthest thing from the truth, which is it usually is, because that's the best thing to impinge. You can't prove something happened that didn't ever happen. you never were even part of. You can't prove yourself that you didn't do it. So then he's out of office. And Ross Perot in Texas, a multi-billionaire, years ago when billions were a lot of money, billionaire. And he had some of the major industries of Texas. And he was a very honest man, a very good man, and a very intensive man. He wanted to bring the principles of honest practice to the government and become the president. So he ran for president. And there were a few people who didn't want his honesty in the presidency, because his honesty in the presidency would mess up their activities of how they're manipulating the government to give them what they want. So what did they do? They said, you get out of the race or things will happen to your daughters and your wife. Wow! And of course he believed it. And of course it could have been true. I doubt that it would have been true, but it could have been true. And he ran scared. He did not stand up for his principle. I don't care about my daughter's lives and my wife's life. I'm standing up for this principle. What would happen if he had done that? My goodness, he'd have broke the mold. Maybe started a whole new generation, a whole new experience of honesty, a whole new set of values about the values of honesty. Now, could you do that? Could you say, okay, so you shoot me. So you do something to my friends or whatever. I'm standing up for principle. Could you do that? Yeah, could you? And the answer is no. Because you're chicken. You have been trained by your mother and father. You've been trained by the priests that if you're a naughty boy, you go and pay your penance and you're forgiven. You pay for it. You pay for it and you're forgiven. To be forgiven means go and sin no more. There's no payment involved. That's the payment if there's a payment, but there's no payment involved. You don't pay to get out of your sin, out of your errors, ways and treatment. But you see, this is what we teach. This is what we teach. Now, what is an insurance adjuster? Ever heard of an insurance adjuster? That's a person who adjusts activities on your insurance so that you can get your money or not get your money. And if you go along with the insurance adjuster, he'll get your money. But if you don't go along with your insurance adjuster, too bad. This is the way the insurance laws are written. You can't do it. But if you go along with him, he'll say, well, here's some loopholes. We'll go through there and we'll get your adjustment. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that happens all the time, every single day, in every single insurance company. What a bunch of lack of values that they have. Every insurance man in the world lacks these values. They don't lack the values. That is their values. That's their modus operandi. What is the legislator's modus operandi? I want this, you want that. You vote for me, my deal, and I'll vote for your deal. You know? And does that sound so terrible? Not really. But it does when you realize I'm buying you and you're buying me, you know. It's just how much are we paying, you know? How much are we paying? My son got in trouble. I'd like to have him be out of trouble. And I'll vote for your project if you get him out of trouble. And all you have to do is go to the judge in your jurisdiction and say to the judge, Judge, would you like to be judge next year? Yeah. Well, then, here's a few cases I'd like you to handle in this particular way. And the judge says, yes, sir. He doesn't say, no, sir, I will not violate my judgeship. My judgeship is completely free of any taint of this. But he says, you know, John, you and I have been good friends for a long time. I have a couple things I'd like to have, too, you know. I'd like you to do this. And okay, judge, no problem. I'll do this, you do that. And so we'll get him off the death penalty, and we'll get him off of this here and that and the other thing. And, you know, isn't it interesting? But that happens. Not bad. It's not good. But it's not bad. It is the way it's being done. Now, if you could say to me, and, oh, I'd be thrilled more than words can ever say. If you could say to me, I never take, touch, desire, claim anything that is not mine. I never take, touch, desire, claim anything that is not mine. If there is a $1,000 bill laying in the middle of the road, I will not touch it. I might take it to the side of the road and put a rock on it so it won't blow away, so somebody who might have lost it can come back and find it, but I will not look for someone who might own it. I will not take it with the idea that I am wishing it'll be mine. I'm merely, if I see a child in the middle of the road and the traffic is coming here and there, I'll run out and get the child and set him on the side of the road and say, no, don't play out there, you play in here. You know, I'm not trying to get a reward for saving the child's life or just if the child gets run over and crushed and I could have saved it, I don't want to have that feeling in me. But you see, I don't claim it. What does the hero do? The hero is a hero, and then the hero disappears. Nobody, who was that? That masked man who saved the city. Who was that who pulled you out of the fire? Who pulled you out of your burning car? Who was that? I don't know. Pulled me out of the car, and everybody started coming up, and he just disappeared in the crowd. He ran away. Nobody will ever know. What does he look like?
Well, I don't know. He had brown shoes on.
How you know he had brown shoes? Because that's all I could see. That's all I could see. Now, you see, honesty, the true honesty and true integrity and true purity doesn't come easy. Because you've been trained not to finders, keepers, losers, weepers, finders, keepers, losers, weepers, you know. You don't need it. You did just fine without finding that money on the street or just without finding that thing that doesn't belong to you. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. Don't have anything to do with it. But if I leave that wallet in the middle of the street, it's going to get run over and, you know, and run over and run over. So, what if you didn't see the wallet in the middle of the street? Would it bother you that it got run over? I wouldn't know that it was there. Well, then, that's the way to do it. Just don't know that it's there. It's none of your business. Now, if your business is eleemosynary, where you want to go out there and pick up the item and bring it to the side of the road where it won't get damaged, and then let whoever comes along who wants to claim it, claim it.
But what if somebody claims it and it's not theirs?
It's none of your business, is it? Mm-hmm. But you think it is because you think you're your brother's keeper. This is what you're taught by the church. This is what you're taught by your parents. This is what you're taught by everybody. Now, who comes first in the family?
Father.
The family. Who comes first in the family? The family. The family comes first before any other family, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Now, yeah, perhaps the father. But the thing is, what comes first in your life? Your family. Your family. You will stand by your family. And you can say anything you want about other people. Don't you say a thing about my sister or my brother or whatever. Don't you say anything about my father. Don't you say anything about my mother and I'll punch your nose out, you know. Now see, that's what we're taught. Now, who needs to protect their family? If the family has values, if they have ethics, if they have a way of living their life which is impeccable, which is untouchable, which is there's no way you can find fault with it, then what's there to protect? You don't have to protect truth. What you do, you protect falsehood. Anytime there's a case in court or a case in there's some falsehood going on there. Somebody is doing a wrong thing. Now, it may be the person charged or it may be the person charging. It doesn't really matter. But there's a falsehood going on. And there's a falsehood going on because somewhere there is a lack of values. A lack of values. And when it's okay to cheat and steal and hurt other people, or when it's okay to take your Tommy gun at age 3 and go around shooting people, boom, 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 boom. Well, it's a toy. You're only pretending, you're only playing, but you're teaching that you can shoot other people. You're teaching that you can, so to speak, take their life, even if only in your imagination, whereas that is the most real place in the world. You see, it's very, very, we are doing a disservice to our children by teaching them things like this. Now, if a father lies at home, will his children lie? If a father fudges, will the children fudge? Does our neighbor not want to tell us what his job is because he has to fudge? Because it isn't as big as he thinks it should be? Whatever job you have, you make it into the most noble, glorious job in the world, and anyone looking at it will say, my God, you've got more pizzazz and impact than the king. You have more than the president. You have more than anybody. Because you are doing something very significant. You understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Very significant. We want to live our lives in such a way that titles don't make any difference to us. Our integrity is worth more than any title in the world. Our honesty is worth more than any possession we might gain from getting something. And we will not do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. We would not do unto others anything that we would not like have done to us. We are very careful. We are very careful of that because of one thing. Our world is our
reflection.
And that's something. Our world is our reflection. So now, I say to each one of you here on campus and each one of you around the world listening to this thought for today, if you like your world and your world is lots of fun, you're doing it right. If your world is not a lot of fun, you're doing it wrong. How do you do it right? Well, what are your values? Look at them closely. Determine whether your values are the type of values you'd like to have other people use to judge you. If other people knew what your values are, would you like them to know that and judge you on it? You know? Could you take anything ever that doesn't belong to you? Could you use the legal processes to destroy somebody else merely because they were not cooperative with you? Could you do these things, you know? You have to be very careful. Now, if you ever could do that, then you're going to die a terrible death, as Donald Tsimoda was told, because in Illusions with Richard Bach, Donald Tsimoda was reading in the book And it says, don't be so stuck upish. You're going to die a terrible death. But of course, how did Donald Cimoda die his terrible death? He got shot and all ripped to pieces in the cockpit of his airplane, and, you know, bled everywhere and just really a mess. And then Richard Bach went away, and the people went away. And then that evening, flying into their special flying place was Donald Cimoda, all hearty and perfect, in his beautiful airplane, without a blood spot on it, without a grass stain on it, without anything, because that was just an illusion. That was just a game. But you say, but that's a tough game. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For a moment. For a moment, that's a tough game. But the thing is, who was Donald Cimoda? Donald Cimoda was the reluctant Messiah. He knew the truth, and he could not help from saying it. He expressed the truth, and he could not help from but expressing it. He lived the truth. He could not help but live it. Now, where are you? Are you so fabulous and so wonderful that you, what you know, you cannot help but live? When that's true, then there will be no honesty or dishonesty. There will be no truth and no falsehood. There will only be the is, which that's all there is anyhow. And you'll come to realize there's only the is, and your judgment will have stopped for yourself and everybody. And you'll have started to live in the now and have fun. And I say amen to that. Mm-hmm. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Thank you.